Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John on the other side of the glass. Back live after our, four-day weekend, which is pretty cool. Hope everybody had a, speaking cool, tried to stay cool over the 4th of July weekend. It is Monday. It's the 8th day of July, 2024. The Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, and we do our telephone interviews. That's presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Monday, we get things rolling with our Monday one-on-one, presented by my friends over at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. Family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and the group specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. Specifically, the wonderful photography that Mo Gall is his name, the owner. He shoots some wonderful photography. Picture framing, hanging services, hanging systems. The family will come out, put the piece that you had framed up on the wall the way you want it. They make house calls. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen. And now Monsoon Chocolate is in that Midtown Center as well, doing well on their website, moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one guest is with Josh Jacobson. Josh returns to the show. He was with us about a year ago after his organization was formed, so it's now 2 years old. The group is called Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Josh is a Tucson businessman, and he is one of the founders of Tucson Crime Free Coalition, which is a non-for-profit community-based coalition whose mission is a safer community for all through the enforcement of our laws. According to their mission statement on their website, they are advocates for adequate staffing and resources for law enforcement, treatment for those in need, and prosecution for criminals that are unwilling to abide by our laws. Hey, Josh, good to see you again.
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure. The organization has grown. You're up to what, about 7,000 members now?
Yes, we have 7,000 members. The last year has been extremely busy. My co-steering leaders, Kevin Daly, Monica Carlson, and myself, we've done everything from been to the state capitol and run legislation up there in different areas. We've helped other organizations run legislation. We're very involved during this campaign cycle. But we have never taken our eyes off of our big project that we were talking about last time we were here, which is the transition center over at the Pima County Jail.
Mm-hmm. And is that up and running?
It is up and running, and I always have to give a lot of credit to Pima County Administrator Jan Lesher and Deputy Administrator Steve Holmes, Kate Vesely, Doyle Morrison. Those are a lot of the people behind the scenes that have really gotten the center to launch. And if I may, can I give a brief overview?
Of course, please.
The Transition Center, for listeners, it is located next to the Pima County Jail, and it's a building that when people are released from jail, if they've committed a nonviolent misdemeanor type of crime, they come through this building, and on their way out, they are met by what are called navigators, and these are individuals that have lived experience, they've been in the prison system, they've overcome addiction, they know the game, and their whole job is to make sure that when people are arrested, that they are released with some sort of support, treatment, detox, some sort of a plan to help get their life back on track. And there's been a lot of good progress. The early statistics are looking really good, and it's something that we really hope continues to build on.
The people who are coming through the transition center, they spend how long there, Josh?
You know, it really depends.
A couple of days or?
Oh, in the transition center itself. Yeah. So think of it this way, Bill. If somebody gets arrested for a nonviolent misdemeanor crime, they're coming through. The navigators, what they do is they kind of become almost a personal support concierge. Mm-hmm. And so they figure out, okay, what is this person needing? Are they needing detox? Do they need to go to a detox facility, or do they need a roof over their head, or do they need a phone? Do they need help with their IDs? Whatever it is. And then they get routed to different nonprofits around town. Mm-hmm. They get routed to different services. And the big goal here is to help break the recidivism rate and get people to stop doing whatever it was that got them there in the first place. Mm-hmm. So just imagine before the transition center was there, somebody gets released for jail and there's no support. There's no no help. So what do? They go back to doing whatever got them there in the first place.
We're talking with Josh Jacobson. Josh is one of the founders of an organization known as the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Josh, your organization has been at odds with some of these statistics released by the city of Tucson and the police department on crime. In your view and the organization's, how are we doing?
Well, we always tell people, you know, your eyes don't lie to you. You know, drive around town, look at the condition of commercial businesses. We very unfortunately say that it's clear that one of the best businesses to be in Tucson right now is the plywood business. The next thing is the personal security business.
Unfortunately, I guess, right? Yeah. Because people run their vehicle into the glass or throw a rock or whatever, right?
Yeah, yeah. Glass is getting broke left and right. You know, I mean, like just think a panel of glass that would cover your door here as we're coming in. That's a $1,500 expenditure.
It is.
You know, the other thing is private security. You can't go anywhere in town to the big box stores, go to, you know, your favorite QT to get some iced tea, and you got two security guards. You know, a security guard that works 8 hours a day, 5 days a week, that's an $80,000 expenditure.
Mm.
So what we're really dealing with is, number one, we've got reporting fatigue going on with citizens. People have simply given up reporting crimes or even calling 911.
Mm-hmm.
Reason being is we don't have enough officers.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, you make the call. An officer probably is not coming unless it is something extremely dire.
Mm-hmm.
On top of that, if they do come, it might be so late, so far after the fact that they're not able to document the crime because it's done. It's gone. It's over.
They're told to go online.
A lot of people are told to go online. And up until very recently, when you reported a crime online, there was a big bold lettering that said online crimes are not put into statistics.
Mm-hmm.
So we take issue with that. And then we have a big lack of prosecution. There's a lot of people that once they are arrested, once they do go to jail, there's a lot of pleas, there's a lot of reductions in charges that are going on. So we really do not have an accurate synopsis of what's happening. So I always tell people when they say, well, what do you think? You know, is crime down? And I say, well, that's like a business owner saying, I've now closed my business for half of the week. And as a result, my gross sales are down. How does that happen? Or, you know, my payroll is down. How does that happen? So we're really talking about a cause and effect situation, not the reality of the street level.
As a restaurant owner, and you currently own a couple of Lucky Wishbones, that's a challenge being a restaurant owner in this environment. So how do you weather that, or what do you do to perhaps mitigate these issues?
Well, that was really the way that I got involved with the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, is because our businesses, our properties, our windows were getting broken constantly. We had people that would come in and they would, basically berate my staff, berate my customers, things that, you know, really affect somebody that's running a family business greatly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have people that are using drugs on your property, trying to use drugs in your bathroom. They're defecating, urinating on your property. You know, eventually enough gets to be enough.
Mm-hmm.
And so fortunately, I've got a great staff. I've got great managers. They've been with me for decades and decades. Running a business right now is still difficult. I think
have you had to hire private security for your business?
No, sadly, Bill, these pythons here, this is the security.
Yeah, you're pretty buffed up, I would say.
But no, joking aside, sadly, we have a lot of wrought iron on our businesses.
Okay.
And, you know, we always make sure that nobody leaves alone at night. We're extra vigilant.
Are your hours changed because of this?
No, we've been able to keep our hours the same. But, there's a lot of businesses around town that, you know, we're seeing a lot of Family Dollars on the south side go out of business, and that's due to retail theft. A lot of Walgreens have closed in our community.
Mm-hmm.
And I always remind people, this is devastating. Tucson has a 19.8% poverty rate.
Mm.
We are a poor community. We cannot lose any sort of economic opportunity at all.
Mm-hmm.
So private safety or public safety is one of the biggest issues concerning us right now.
Would more law enforcement, in your opinion, in the group help?
More law enforcement.
More cops on the street.
That has been documented and proven to be true.
Okay.
So good example here. Over at the First and Wetmore area, there was so much organized retail theft going on by the mall and some of the big box stores, and there were fencing operations in that area. There was drug dealing going on down in the Rito River, and guess what? They added a bike patrol. They started putting deterrents in. They had more presence there, and that moved the crime out of the area. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, we know that police presence and deterrence, and we're not talking about going out and, you know, throwing people against cars and handcuffing them left and right. You know, we're talking about having a presence and making contact with individuals. And that's one of the biggest things I've learned, you know, in my business dealing with the general public. If I see somebody that might be a little suspicious, the first thing I do is I go up to them, say hello to them, ask them how they're doing. You know, that's what a lot of policing is all about. Mm-hmm. And so if you have more officers that can do that, of course, that'll help. But the other side to that is officers have to be allowed to do their jobs. Mm-hmm. And the frontline officers that we have tremendous respect for, they are demoralized. They do not feel like they have the power to do their jobs. They're afraid to do their jobs in a lot of instances, because we know that the second that an officer does something wrong, they're going to have our local Pima County prosecutor all over them, mm-hmm. looking at them, holding them to a different level of accountability than we do for just street criminals.
All right.
Very concerning.
We'll have more with Josh Jacobson of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Josh is one of the founders of the organization. It's our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Perfect time of year to go over to Green Things. Yes. It's hot, but we will be getting some rain hopefully in a couple of days. So go by and check out Green Things and put some beautiful things in your garden. And then when we get some rain, hopefully in a couple of days, you will be all set. We'll have more with Josh Jacobson on the Monday one-on-one after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is finalizing a new 20-year plan for RTA board review and approval to seek public feedback on the draft plan. Sign up at rtanext.com for updates.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Quality of Life Research Center has conducted more than 100 clinical trials in Arizona over its 20-year history. Because of their success, participants may have access to a variety of treatments under study that may not be available to people outside the trial. And participants may receive compensation for study-related time and travel. If you think you'd like to participate in a clinical trial, please visit qlmc.com to view our open trials and express interest.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We're doing our Monday one-on-one presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I've been going to Moe for all of my framing needs, actually purchased some custom frame mirrors from them. They do such a great job. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and their website looks really good too, moesgallery.com. Our Monday one-on-one guest, Josh Jacobson, Tucson businessman. The family owns right currently a couple of Lucky Wishbones, one of the founders of Tucson Crime Free Coalition, which has grown in the past 2 years from just a handful of members to 7,000 people now have said, just sign me up. Josh, and to sign up, do you have to pay dues? How does that work?
It's real easy. Just visit TucsonCrimeFree.com. You'll be prompted to enter in your email. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, that will get you our once per week newsletter. It will engage you in the conversations. We will connect you with our calls to action and ways just to engage in trying to help create and promote a safer community for all.
So the unsheltered population, aka homeless situation, the Supreme Court decision in effect says homelessness could be considered a crime. What's the organization's take on that?
Well, number one, homelessness is not a crime at all. And when we talk about homelessness, we always make sure when we have this conversation to make sure people understand that there's several different categories of people that are homeless. You know, you've got people that might have housing insecurities. They lost their apartment, they lost their house due to rent, whatever it is. But really for us, we're talking about the chronically unsheltered. These are people that have been out on the streets for months, years and years. You know, part of what we do is we go into the encampments, we engage with individuals, we talk to them about what their story is, what their background is, how long they've been out there. And people are really, really honest and forthcoming. Once you break down the barrier, you know, that you're not there to be a cop or arrest them or anything like that, we'll have people tell us about their drug abuse and their issues. So when we're talking about the chronically unhoused, chronically unsheltered, there's two big documented drivers: SMI, which is serious mental illness, or SUDS, substance use disorder. When we've participated in the point in time count, the data that comes out of that says that 68% of the respondents suffer from serious mental illness, 80% from substance use disorder. But I can tell you, Bill, we'll be there talking to somebody about their drug use, and they'll have drug paraphernalia, they'll be doing drugs in front of us, and they'll tell us that they don't have a drug problem. So a lot of times being chronically unsheltered or unhoused is just a symptom.
They're in denial, a lot of these people.
Well, it's a symptom of being extremely sick and stuck in the addiction cycle. And you see that all over the streets of our community. It's devastating.
So we have this homeless situation. And then we have a tier, one, two, tier, three tiers, that the way it is addressed in the city of Tucson.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like that tier system?
So that's the tiered encampment protocol.
Do you like it?
No, we don't like it. What it essentially is it's sanctioned, decriminalized zones for urban camping, drug abuse, drug dealing. And I say that because when you go into the large camps around town, you see it right in front of your eyes. I mean, it right in front of your own eyes. The drug dealing that's happening, the rampant drug use, and you can't blame the folks. I mean, they're just left there to do what they do. Mm-hmm. And because there's no accountability, because there's no law enforcement presence, TPD is not allowed to go in there unless there is a serious violent crime.
Then is that a mistake?
Absolutely, it is. Okay. You know, back to having more officers. If we had officers that were in there looking at the area, being deterrents, helping change things, you know, with that Ninth Circuit ruling bill that you're talking about, you know, there's no criminalizing homelessness here. But what we look at that is that's a way to make contact with people that need help. Mm-hmm. By leaving people out in the encampments, we're actively saying it's okay for you to sit there and kill yourself. Mm-hmm. We are saying that. And then all of the symptoms with the crime that goes along with it, because when you don't have a job, when you're living in an encampment and you have a rampant drug addiction, you go into retail theft business, you go into stealing from the neighbors in the neighborhood. And we go to a lot of meetings that TPD hosts, and TPD is at the point where they're just telling these neighborhood groups, we're really sorry this is happening, but the best thing you can do is document everything that you own with serial numbers so that when it gets stolen, we can maybe find it in a pawn shop.
Mm.
That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm. So the tier system, you would like to have that scrapped, I assume, and then go back to the drawing board with police involvement. Am I kind of characterizing that the right way?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we have observed with our own eyes when we go into encampments and we try to, you know, take people to Gospel Rescue Mission or get them connected with La Frontera, Salvation Army. These are groups that we know very well and have a relationship with, is that people are really unwilling to do it. And that's even been documented in a lot of our news articles, that when 100 Acres was getting ready to be cleared out, that the city navigators went in and tried to get people to go into housing or treatment. Nobody takes it up on it. Mm-hmm. Because these people are so stuck in the mm-hmm. substance use disorder. So we're not making an impact there.
You had mentioned that you were lobbying. You actually went up to the legislature. Were mm-hmm. you successful in getting some bills to move forward?
Well, if any of the listeners have been up to the legislature recently, they know that it's an absolute traffic jam of gridlock and partisan politics. So none of our bills moved, but we did work on a bill that we supported the Teamsters with. Mm-hmm. And we have a huge problem with our city buses. You know, the fare is free. Mm-hmm. People are getting on the buses. They're coming on intoxicated, high. They're moving stolen goods around town. They're moving drugs around town. And our bus drivers are getting assaulted way too often, mm-hmm. way, way too often. And we're talking about serious, serious assaults. Mm-hmm. And so if I'm getting the bill number off the top of my head right, HB 2746, it was the Transit Worker Protection Act.
Okay.
So if you're a bus driver, you drive a train, you're a pilot, any of these things, it puts you into the same protected classes like a law enforcement officer, a prosecutor. So if you attack somebody in that class, you're getting serious punishment for that. Mm-hmm. You're being held accountable for a felony. It's not, you know, it's not negotiable. So, and that is a way to try to protect our bus drivers. And we did that to help out the Teamsters as well.
What's on the top of your agenda now, Josh Jacobson? What's the number one thing you'd like to see accomplished here in the coming months?
What we would really like to figure out is how to get the city of Tucson, and this, I'm not speaking for the county here, this is for Tucson Crime Free. Mm-hmm. We would like to see the city of Tucson get a lot more engaged with the transition center. We would like to see a way for the Tucson Police Department to utilize it to a higher degree, because, you know, this has been a pretty darn depressing conversation, right, Bill? The good that we have here is that with the data coming out of the transition center, there is, out of a 30-day window, there is a 27% chance that somebody is going to commit another crime once they've been released for jail. Once they're gone, they've gone through the transition center, they're connected with services, that 27% drops down to a 9% recidivism rate.
Wow.
That's huge. And the other thing is that right now, 57% of the people that are going through the transition center mm-hmm. that are getting connected to services mm-hmm. are the unhoused.
Mm-hmm.
So that's huge too. So if there's a way that we can actually engage with the encampments, start holding people accountable for breaking laws, because we all, you know, we all agreed that we're going to abide by the laws for the most part. If we do that, we can get people into services and treatment, then we've got something, you know. And sometimes the other side to this is, and we've talked to a lot of people that have overcome addiction, is that if they can't do it on their own, if they can't see their way into support service treatment, there is another place for them, and that is called the Pima County Jail, or, you know, so a lot of people have gotten sober in prison.
On a positive note, we do, you and I agree the city does do water well.
They do an amazing job. I, you know, my hat's off to our Tucson Water Department, the water banking that Tucson has done. I mean, the fact that we've got water and Maricopa does not, and that gives me a lot of hope that, you know, if the city of Tucson can figure out water in the desert, we can also figure out some of these other complicated issues. There's just an ideological roadblock at times that we have to overcome.
All right. How do people get more information about your organization?
Come see us at TucsonCrimeFree.com, TucsonCrimeFree.com. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on X, and it's all Tucson Crime Free.
And you update the website quite a bit. Yeah.
Yep. Every week we send out a new newsletter, and that will be in your inbox, your email box on generally Sunday or Monday.
All right. Josh Jacobson, our Monday one-on-one guest from Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Thank you, Josh. Good to see you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here, midway point of our Monday edition. It's our quarterly report from the Better Business Bureau, our consumer alert, coming up right after this.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
Are you ready to immerse yourself in a diverse culture while wandering through bustling markets, sampling exotic cuisines, or forging connections with people from all walks of life? Well, Bon Voyage Travel is here to plan your perfect journey. Whether you're setting off on a solo expedition, embarking on a group adventure, or simply dreaming of far-off destinations, we can help create your custom experience. The road ahead is filled with endless possibilities. Visit bvtravel.com to find your specialized Bon Voyage Travel advisor today.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Family-owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners trust green things. A family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, off and running, midway point of our Monday, July 8th edition. Hope everybody had a wonderful 4th of July weekend. It's time for our quarterly report, the Consumer Alert from the Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. Irene Coppola is here. She is president and CEO of the organization. Hey, Irene, good to see you.
Nice to see you.
And Denise Alvarez with us. Denise, always a pleasure. Denise, the director of operations. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Well, more and more homeowners are looking at solar energy, and it makes sense. Let's face it. Look where we live. We have a lot of sun here. So they're looking to it to reduce their utility bills and carbon footprint. Unfortunately, scammers also, Irene, see an opportunity to take advantage of unsuspecting consumers. Scammers are doing what they like to do, and that is scam people.
Yes, they're so good at it, right?
Aren't they, though? So what are some of the most common tactics that the scammers are using these days?
They will use high-pressure sales tactics. They will absolutely tell you, you know what? I can save you so much money. You will not have another electric bill ever. You just have to invest into this product here. So it's just that high pie. What is it saying? Pie in the sky?
Yeah.
But it's just, it's not true.
Are they saying they're from a well-known company or using other means like that, deceptive means?
Yes, absolutely. You know, they try to partner themselves with the local utility companies, and that's just not the case.
Do they ask Denise for any money up front?
Yes, absolutely. That's a red flag.
Yeah.
You know, asking for a large down payment or any type of payment up front before any type of service is done, that's, you know, a red flag right there.
How about they're saying, well, the homeowner is going to say, you know, what's it going to cost to put this installation in? What do they say?
Yeah, usually they'll just say, you know, give me this right now. We'll finance the rest of it. Nobody's reading contracts, unfortunately. So that's really where they get the consumers.
So they're not worried. They're telling people, don't worry about a contract. Just give me the money up front.
Yes. Unfortunately, some of these scammers come up with and knock on your door. You know, mm-hmm. they're unsolicited and they have an iPad. So what they do is they say, you know, they just scroll through the pages and say, sign right here. And, you know, we are trusting. So unfortunately, sometimes we sign things without reading them and don't know the terms and conditions of what we just signed.
So, Irene, it would be right off the bat, ask for some kind of proof of licensing. Somebody knocks at your door. I got the iPad right here. Just give me your signature.
Right.
We're going to go and put this. This will be, we'll do it next week. Yeah, right.
Right. You know, and that's that high pressure and, you know, the fear of missing out. Sign right now so we can just get it taken care of and get the ball rolling. But that's, you know, definitely a huge red flag. So you need to go on to BBB.org. Look up these companies. Many times they're not even licensed.
Mm-hmm. Do they, well, you ask, how about some detailed information, Denise, about your particular product? Do you offer a warranty? And they're going to tell you what if they come to your door? We'll take care of all that later?
Yes, absolutely. And you know, what we've heard from the consumers that call in are they always get the, well, your neighbor just signed it.
What?
And so then instead sometimes of asking the neighbor if that was accurate,
yeah.
you know, you'll say, oh, you know, if Bill's doing it, then I'm yeah. just going to go ahead and do it myself.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes they offer some type of sale or discount and they say, hey, we're only in the neighborhood today. We've got so many houses. Let's get you in. You know, and you'll get, you know, a $200 rebate or anything like that.
So they may say, Denise, hey, I just was over at your neighbor's and we just came together on a beautiful package that we can put solar in your place for hardly anything. And they're lying.
Correct. Yes, they're lying. Yes, we've had several calls of people in neighborhoods that said, you know, that's what they told me that my neighbor did it, so that's why I ended up doing it, not knowing that the neighbor never signed anything or, you know, they never purchased solar panels. So, yeah, they say anything to get in the door and have you, you know, have you sign that contract.
So, Irene, how can the BBB help in this case?
Well, definitely go on to BBB.org, look up the company, read the complaints, read the reviews, and, you know, a reminder, just because they have a complaint, it doesn't mean that it's bad, but definitely look that it's been responded to. That's what you're looking for. You want to know that this company is not going to just, for lack of a better term, ghost you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you know that they're legitimate. Verify the ROCs. Make sure that the number...
The register of contractor number.
Yes, right? Make sure that it matches the name of the organization. Absolutely.
And these organizations are supposed that solar are supposed to be sanctioned and licensed, correct, Irene?
Yes, absolutely.
How about why is consumer education and awareness so important, Denise, in combating these solar scams?
You know, we want consumers to feel empowered to ask questions, to say, you know, thank you for the information. Let me look up, you know, the information that you're giving me, do some research. So it's definitely really important because if we don't get the word out there, this is what happens. You know, somebody ends up with additional panels that they didn't need or paying for panels that are not working, unfortunately. And so we really want to make sure that consumers know what their rights are and also where to look for some of this information.
Irene, is TEP involved with you guys?
They absolutely are.
What is that relationship?
Well, we are joining together because they've been receiving phone calls from consumers stating that the contractor that the consumer signed up said that TEP told them that they needed to get XYZ equipment, that the cost is $5,000 more, and that's not the case. So we're partnering up to be able to get the word out to the consumers to learn how to do your homework before you invest in solar panels.
Again, your scam tracker, Denise, can really help, right?
Correct.
And how do we find that?
It's on our website, bbb.org/scam tracker, and you can look up any scams around your area based on your zip code, any phone number based on phone calls that you received, or even company names you can look up.
Let's shift gears here. What about other educational opportunities does the BBB offer to help consumers and businesses? And can you tell us about the Spark Leadership Summit, Irene?
Yes, absolutely. This is our second annual Spark Leadership Summit. Will be held on Wednesday, August 21st at the Casino del Sol. We'll be featuring 4 speakers. We're super excited. A little bit different format. This will begin right around noon on that Wednesday, and it will go until 3 p.m. And we'll also have a business expo afterwards.
Again, that is August 21st at the Casino del Sol. And the event will be followed by the first Spanish Leadership Summit, correct?
Yes, yes. Due to popular demand, the request was to have it in Spanish. So we're going to have Fuego in the evening on the same day.
How about exhibitors? Is there space for the exhibitors? And how does that work?
Yes, we have business expo opportunities still available. The cost is $300. We have tickets available for $75. So absolutely.
I want to get back to Denise and the scams. It is the rainy season, and we're hearing reports of people who are not really, well, they're not licensed roofers. This has been going around, it seems like, every rainy season. They'll knock at the door, kind of like the solar people, and they'll say, you know, I noticed the roof does not look like it's ready for this monsoon. We can really help you out here. What are the red flags there?
Yeah, absolutely. As long as they come to your door, you know, it's an unsolicited,
right,
you know, visitor or vendor, that's a red flag. But really, you know, ask them questions. Ask them about their license. Do they have any references that you could call? And, you know, like Irene said, go to BBB.org, visit our website. You know, we do the homework for you. So we have all of the complaints, if there's any on file, or customer reviews. But definitely somebody showing, you know, up to your door out of nowhere, that's a red flag.
Yeah, and then they ask for some money to get things rolling, but no contract, just saying, you know, we're looking at your neighbors and they're very interested. can we come in the next couple of days and start work? But we need some money now. Mm-hmm. Big red flag.
Big red flag.
But it happens. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, it does happen. And BBB is there to help people before it happens. So again, BBB.org.
Yes.
Denise correct. And Irene, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, ladies. And
thank
have
you.
A try to stay cool this
yes,
summer.
Yes,
okay.
Absolutely.
We'll take
thank
a break
you.
Right here on The Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane in North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com. Pima Association of Governments, the Greater Tucson Region's metropolitan planning organization, is developing a new long-range transportation plan for the next 30 years. Shape your transportation future and tell us your transportation project and funding priorities. Take the survey at pagregion.com/2055. That's pagregion.com/2055.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Quality of Life Medical Center has served Tucson residents for more than 20 years. We understand the key to a long, healthy life is not just about getting the right medical treatment, but it's also about feeling good mentally and emotionally. Whether you're looking for preventative care or treatment for a specific condition, we're here for you. And we are accepting new patients for primary care, pain management, and sexual health. Please visit QLMC.com to request an appointment. Quality of Life. Our name says it all.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. On days like this, I think about places that are higher elevations up in the mountains and consequently are cooler. So we're talking about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which comes to mind immediately. We send a lot of our listeners over who have not been in that area. Many of them say, gee, I've lived in Tucson all my life, never realized there's a great getaway over in southwest New Mexico where it's in the upper 80s. I'll take that anytime. Right now, midday, 89 over in Silver City. So we usually say it's 10 degrees at least cooler. On days like this, it could be 15 or degrees or more cooler in Silver City because of their elevation of 5,000 to 7,000 feet. Start your planning. It's only about a 3-hour drive. The best way to get more information is go to their fine website, which is southwestnewmexico.org, O-R-G. All right, let's go now on our live line, presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. Dr. Mark Sykes is CEO and director of the nonprofit Planetary Science Institute, which is based right here in Tucson. Mark, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Good to talk with you.
Always a pleasure. I guess there are about 200 of these kind of asteroidal objects that are discovered and pass between the Earth and the Moon every year, and we've had a couple of them recently. All I can say is, I just hope, Mark, they don't get too close.
Well, you know, it's really, we hear the news stories about some of the bigger ones,
yeah,
or some of the closest ones. You know, so one of them was that's coming up. Is over a mile in diameter, so not too small, and it's passing our planet about 6 times the distance of the Moon, and then there's another one that's much smaller, more like the size of, you know, like 100 meters or so, that is about 3/4 of the distance of the Moon, passing by, but there's many more over the course of the year that fly by, around 200 or so, and these could be meters in size, up to, you know, 100 meters or whatever, and it's interesting that we're kind of in this swarm of material, and it's also kind of interesting that we haven't lost any satellites from this that I'm aware,
yeah,
of.
Yeah,
but space is a pretty big place, and even at a couple hundred a year, it's not likely that any of these things are going to run into something.
How big would an object have to be to do some real serious damage, Mark Sykes?
Damage where, though? On the Earth?
Yeah.
It'd probably have to be I think that Chelyabinsk was probably 50 meters in size, you know, and so it doesn't have to be that big, maybe it's even smaller than that, you know, because it can break up in the atmosphere and then still, you know, do a lot of damage, you know, on the ground, you know, break windows, whatever, and you don't want to be hit by anything. And of course, since most of the Earth is water, we don't, and there's a lot of open spaces where there's not a lot of people hanging around. We miss a lot of what does hit the Earth.
I'm just curious, does the object have to come how close before it would be caught up in our atmosphere and literally pull the object into the Earth? I mean, is that how it works?
Well, it's really, you know, what's the orbit? Is the orbit going to intersect the Earth at an altitude that is sufficiently low to instead of just continuing to wander on its merry way to get dragged into the Earth? But there's plenty of orbits where the atmosphere is not dragging it into the Earth; it's just slowing it down because it's going to hit the Earth anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's I think the more frequent case.
We know some of these objects, the bigger ones, are identified. We can track them. I don't know, even years in advance, can't we?
Oh yeah, even centuries in advance. You know, if we have accurate enough information, like if it's an asteroid in which we have had a radio, you know, orbiting it or on the surface of it, like Itokawa or Bennu, then we know very accurately what the future orbital history of those objects are. And then when we have, if we have NEO Surveyor, which launched in a few years, which will be dedicated towards looking at the near-Earth object population, including something that we don't usually see at night, and that is asteroids whose orbits are interior of the Earth, you know, towards the sun. And so we don't see those things at night, and because they're on the sun side. So the NEO Surveyor is going to be a great mission for determining what is the population of objects out there that would be interesting scientifically, that would be interesting from a planetary defense standpoint, or even a resources standpoint. So, and there's going to be a lot.
Yeah, and you wonder what kind of defense mechanism would we have? What could we do to change the trajectory of an object coming our way?
Well, there's always denial.
Not going to happen.
No. You know, if we know, say, a long way in advance, you know, say 100 years in advance or a couple hundred years in advance, then just painting the side of it so it has different effects of radiation pressure on the asteroid could change its orbit enough that it will miss the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
If it's something that, oh, it was discovered 2 weeks ago, and my God, it's heading towards us.
Yeah.
Well, okay, the options may be more limited and more dramatic, you know, as a consequence,
yeah,
depending on how big it is.
Yeah.
So, but we have a range of, you know, we could hit it with something, you know, something like the DART impactor, you know, that hit that satellite of an asteroid.
Mm-hmm.
But we calculated this on your show, Bill.
Yeah.
You know, I sat down there and calculated that. Given the efficiency of that impact of changing the orbit of the satellite, that if we were to discover an object of similar size that we wanted to take care of in a similar way, if we knew about it 113 years in advance, we could change its orbit enough for the Earth to pass by where it would have been.
And we could all breathe a lot easier, couldn't we?
Right, right. So yeah, it's all about, and that's why missions like NEO Surveyor are so important, is that we've got to know what's out in the neighborhood.
We do.
And if we don't look, we can't complain if we get hit by something.
Hey, the Artemis 3 lunar lander, another delay on that one, huh?
Yeah, it's like a 30% chance, but I mean, I think that there's far greater chance of things actually being delayed because there's a lot of technology that, frankly, hasn't been completely developed or tested yet. And if you want to be landing on the surface of the moon in 4 years, I think that things are a lot different than the 60s, where they're putting in, you know, 9% of the federal budget into NASA to go to the moon. We're not doing that today. And so yeah, this isn't a crash program, and so I think that more delays are in the future.
What is the latest timetable for it now? Is it 3 more years or something?
Oh, I think they're looking at 2028 or something to land on the moon, but I think that's really optimistic.
Hmm.
So we'll see, and we'll see when the Chinese get there, because they're, you know, they're planning on landing at some point, I think in the 2030s. And I really expect, I really have been impressed with their space program so far. And I expect that when they go, that they'll be going to stay.
And that's
not something that's in our cards.
And you said last month on the program that it's too bad, really, we don't have the cooperation with the Chinese when it comes to the space programs.
Yeah, and that's our fault, because there's this thing called the Wolf Amendment, which doesn't allow any NASA funds to be used on any bilateral activity with China. And, you know, I had a situation where I got an award from the Space Telescope Science Institute, and turned out that one of the people on the award was from China. Everybody else was America. And I said, we can't, this needs to be changed. We need to get somebody from another country on here, because then it's multilateral and it's okay. But in its previous form, it was bilateral and illegal. We could work with, I think China would be more than happy to work with us. I know a bunch of scientists and engineers over there. They're very enthusiastic people, and just have a lot of pride in what they've done, and they deserve to feel that way. And it'd be great to have something where we have a positive partnership that we could point to in among all the adversity that's going on. I mean, just like it was in Soviet times, we had difficulties with the Russians in a lot of areas, but we cooperated very well in space.
All right, Mark Sykes, always a pleasure. People can find out more, and I hope they do, about your fine organization, of which I am a member. Planetary Science Institute, their website, psi.edu. Thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show on our Monday edition here, back to work edition, after most people having a four-day weekend. Ready to go with the new week. Hope everybody has a good week. Bill Buckmaster wishing everyone well.